You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I am one of the co-hosts of this wonderful podcast, and you're not imagining it. On the other line is Tony East. We are back. I know we're 4 days late, but we are back this week for a weekly show.
Man, we haven't talked to each other in like 12 days or something.
Really? Has it been that long?
Yeah, since last Sunday, right? Wow.
Well, we text every few days anyways. We do. So we're in constant communication, I would say.
We apologize for the schedule change, but these summer hours, man, they're throwing me off.
Well, you got to take your vacations. You got to get your rest and recovery.
I know. It was a great wedding. Minneapolis, pretty fun city. If we have any Minneapolis listeners, I like your city. Also, a small announcement. Next week, back to 5 days a week for the time being.
Well, that's why you had to rest up. That's how we were a little late. We had to rest
up. Yeah.
Tony's a little sick. You can probably hear it. Got to get the vocal cords ready so we can go 5 days a week for what, the next two, maybe 3 weeks?
Depending five on that days time. A week next week for the draft, then the week after for a free agent preview, as you can see with all this Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving stuff going on. I'm sure we'll have a ton to talk about. And then the week after that actually is free agency, which, again, I'm sure we'll have a ton to talk about. So I think it's going to be the next 3 weeks. We'll do 5 days a week. Obviously, still only one, maybe two weekly shows. But, yeah, get back to the mid-season form.
Yeah, I think really just depends on how much Pacer and related freighted news there is. That
like, yeah.
Get all dived out by the day three. We'll figure it out.
I think you can talk about like the division and the conference and stuff. There will be enough.
Yeah, and then unfortunately we'll cut back to once a week till the season. So
yes,
get your Locked On Pacers fix.
That's the worst because first of all, we like doing this and there's only one a week. But second of all, it's like nothing happens. So we're talking about like nothing.
Well, what did we do last year? We did the fan show. Maybe we'll do that.
We did the fan shows. TBD on those. Let's talk about the week that was because a lot happened.
Yeah, so let's start with the Woj. We call them rumors, reports. What's the fair way to call it?
I think they're reports. The ESPN mock draft special. So Bobby Marks and I forget. Holy crap. They made draft picks. The Pacers picked Kevin Porter Jr. It doesn't matter. It was just for fun. It had no bearing on the real draft. But Woj inserted himself occasionally with rumors and analysis about the team that was picking. And the first one that he brought up when the Grizzlies picked the number two, he talked about Mike Conley. And specifically on that pick, he said that the interested teams would be the Indiana Pacers and Boston Celtics.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Did he say the Jazz as well?
So that's what I was going to say. That's why I said on that pick, because he said the Jazz on the Jazz pick, which is interesting that when he's talking about the Grizzlies and suitors for Mike Conley, he picks two teams. But he says the Jazz have interest in Conley. I don't know. The different phrasing and timing makes me think the Jazz are like a different tier of interest.
Yeah, well, we did the whole Jazz-Pacers debate for Conley about, right? I mean, they can basically, if they get into a bidding war, it's going to be bad. But if they can both agree at a point where they'll both cut out, they'll be okay. Like, because they can match each other deals. It's what Memphis prefers, essentially.
Right. Boston is interesting because that, like, beyond Kyrie signing with Jay-Z's agency and signaling he wants to go to the Nets, the fact that they would be interested in a point guard also makes me think that they know he's leaving.
Well, the Boston thing makes sense if they can flip Tatum for Davis and then flip Brown for him, and their roster is Conley, Brown, Horford. Right? I mean, I guess the cap wouldn't work there, right? You end up also
they got enough stuff to make something happen.
Yeah, but to me, it feels like the Celtics are going to go out for KD, and then if I doubt they don't get him, they might better off be just standing.
Or AD.
AD, not KD. AD. prayers up for KD, by the way.
Prayers up for KD. So sad. Yeah, I agree. That's interesting. Well, the reason that is interesting besides that is they have better assets than the Pacers, right? So if Conley is their only guy, like they suck at getting everybody else, suck is not fair. If they strike out on everybody else, and Conley is now their target, like – he's theirs if they want him. They have
so
a million things to offer.
So would you, even if you're the Celtics, entertain Tatum for Conley, right?
I probably wouldn't even entertain Brown for Conley.
Right, unless it's like a game, a last piece, right?
I still think Marcus Smart, the dude they picked last year, Robert Williams, and the million first-round picks they have this year in going forward is probably better than the Pacers offer, right?
Well, Marcus, well, they're sending the Memphis pick back to them essentially, right?
Yes. Yes. Your own pick back and Marcus Smart, and we have three firsts. Yeah, I think they can.
I don't know if that, I mean, I guess if the Grizzlies assume they're going to be bad again next year, it might be, right?
They but should.
Is it top
especially eight? If they're training Conley.
Is it top eight or top protected again next year still?
It's top six next year.
Okay, so you're protected if it's going to be a top three pick anyways.
Which is scary because the draft moves you so much now.
Yeah, but I mean, they're still protect. Like, that pick isn't as valuable if it's unprotected because they're still protected. They hit the lottery, for example, again. So that's not – I mean, I don't know if I put Smart and Robert Williams over like a
– Oh, no. No, that's not – well, Smart's awesome, but that alone is not enough.
You're thinking like two picks, right?
Yes, yeah. The overarching point here, by the way, is the Pacers are highly interested in Conley, and they're one of a few teams that are, which is a big deal, and I think says a lot. I think that – you know, it's, you know, Pritchard talked about the lopsided trades. I think this falls right into that. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how that develops and what kind of market Conley has. The less interested teams, the better.
I also think it matters about timing, because if AD is still available come draft night and Zelix are most focused on that than they are trying to get Conley, the Pacers could sneak in and get Conley if they just want to move him on draft night.
Absolutely. That's also if the Lakers trade for AD sooner, which, man, is that looking likely all of a sudden?
Yeah.
I think that does not help the Pacers either. But it was interesting that he brought that up. That was the only time the Pacers were mentioned besides their own pick.
Yeah, I will mention Boston is rumored for every team. They're always rumored to almost true. Make the trade. Almost on every single star player, they rumored on them, and they're rumored as, oh, we almost made that trade. We were
yeah, close. Someone tweeted that today. They're like, I'm ready for the headline that's like, the Celtics were so close to AD, but they were hung up on Yabusele, and they wouldn't get rid of him.
Or I'm waiting for like the revisionist history one when like they offered him four first-round picks, and one of those picks would have become this guy, but it's like, well, you want to protect them and all this stuff and all that.
Yes, so that was a big deal. The Conley train is past rumors now. We're officially to reporting. So,
and we're officially in the range where if he got traded between the, like, a deal gets struck in the next few weeks. Put it that way.
Yes, I agree. The other bit of you're hosting and I'm taking over here. Sorry,
that's fine.
The other bit of news dropped is that the Pacers would like to retain Bojan, which is right in line with, again, KP's comments at the end of season presser saying they're going to talk to Bojan on July 1, which is GM speak for we're already talking to Bojan about coming back. And then he also said they would like to retain Thaddeus Young for the right price, which sounds fine and dandy, but to me, they're already hedging their bet that they're not going to keep him, and then they can just say that someone outbid them. But that is my interpretation of what that meant.
So you forgot. Franchise starts June 30th at 6 p.m.
Oh, yeah. Oh, crap. I did.
Yeah, that it seems like.
The Thad comments were not encouraging to me. Everyone was like, oh, cool, they're interested in Thad. I'm like, wait, what? Like,
well, Thad has to want to come back. That's the thing. It seems like they want Thad to come back on a team or a more team-friendly deal. And
I agree.
They're just waiting for us to say, well, we just couldn't afford
it. I think that was just PR speak coming in. And to be fair, they should do PR speak for a guy that they traded a first-round pick for that has been very good and good with media fans on the court. But, yeah, that speak to me hinted more strongly in the other direction that we've seen people projecting.
So what do you – I mean, the Thad question is, what is the market for?
I hope it's out. That means I stayed up late and finished it. But I'm writing about this, Adam. I'm writing about potential suitors for each Pacers free agent.
Okay, so do you want to get a little preview?
Yeah, I'll talk about Thad's list. So because I think a four-year deal at the full non-tax pyramid level, which is 4 years, $39.5 million, right? That's a good deal for Thad.
Yeah, definitely.
I agree. $40 million guaranteed. So I think that some playoff teams are in the mix for him. So I actually think his list is pretty big. For example, team like Phoenix or Chicago or Atlanta could blow him up like a two-year deal because they want a vet. Or Utah.
Then he'll be bought out in 5 minutes and sent to like on a minimum deal.
That too. Utah needs a four, and Sacramento might need a four, and they're both on the precipice of contending where Thad could really help them. And then in the playoff hunt, you got like Boston, Houston, Portland, maybe even Golden State. could talk themselves into to him really helping them. So I actually think his list is pretty long.
Yeah, Portland pops on that list to me.
They also popped to me. Yeah. So, Houston is interesting just because he can fill a PJ Tucker role if they trade him, which
and he's
been rumored.
He is from the South.
Yes, he is.
So,
and that was a long way of saying what I said before. Like the list is pretty big, so it could, in theory, get. The problem is three of those teams can only offer him that mid-level. So the teams that are actually in the bidding war aren't as long, but there's enough still that I think it's going to be easy for them to say, "Eh, that's too high." See ya.
Yeah, I do wonder if that just wants to come back on a deal. That's I guess the problem is 4 years, 40 too high.
I don't know, because he turns 31 in nine. Well, you're listening. 8 days. His birthday is the 21st. His birthday is on draft day, actually.
Okay.
So he'll be 31. So 4 years gets him to 35, which is a bit scary. But he's not like so athletic that you're like, oh crap. So
also, what's the cap going to be in 4 years? Probably 120.
I haven't. Oh, I thought I had it in front of me, but I didn't. Dang it! I'm embarrassed.
Well, the players are always a little off too, right? Because they.
Yeah. Well, but it's not like so bad. But isn't it going up big one time? Yeah, in 4 years, the end of that deal, it's 127 million.
Yeah,
128 million. So,
you're talking about $10 million for a player who, even on the back end, probably can provide you regular season minutes. The worst case, or maybe
good point.
In the playoffs, he's probably your eighth guy for that cost.
Maybe there is competition more than I thought. Even
well, no, but like that. Obviously, there's some issues if they want to bring in Conley and re-sign Bogan, they can't do all that to bring Thad back. But right. But for $10 million, if you got another option, it doesn't make a bad deal for Thad.
I agree. I'm with you there. This is another thing we talked about this with McDermott last summer, and we'll talk about McDermott later, actually. But you know about how his $7 million deal or $7.3 million deal is almost by the amount the cap goes up, so it's almost like you get him for free. Which now that's not fun analysis, but. The next summer after this one, the cap goes up $7 million, and then $6 million, and then $6 million again. So that's like $20 million in the next 3 years. So these giant deals aren't as scary as they seem in right now's cap environment.
No, and it makes the Vic deal look better and better each year.
Better and better, baby. And the Miles deal, when Miles is making $16 million in $121 or $127 million cap environment. Oh my gosh.
Well, it's similar to these NFL contracts where like a quarterback signs today for like what, $35 million?
Kirk Cousins sets the record.
So Russell Wilson signed for 35, right? It's in the cap in the NFL goes up literally every year, goes up $10 to $12 million. So by the time that deal is done in 4 years, you'll have literally the deal will be what the cap space has gone up. So like
exactly.
Yeah, I mean that's what's happening in the NBA. In the NBA they have a little more they do the 8% raises, right? 7.5%. So
five or eight.
Right. Yep. So that sort of stems that a little bit, right?
That's how the mid-level, which starts at 9.2 million, gets him to 40 because of almost 40, whatever.
Yeah.
Because of the raises.
So that sort of bridges that gap of the cap raise each year at least.
But that was basically, by the way, the Blues just won the Stanley Cup for you hockey fans. If you're a Blues fan, congratulations. But that was basically the gist of what was said, and I always think it's interesting when Woj, who's incredibly plugged in, talks about the Pacers.
Yes, and so I think we should hit the Bojan thing real fast. Do you? What's the price?
You say
no.
18.5.
Yeah.
19.
Well, that would get to what the Pacers are willing to pay.
I think they're willing to pay quite a bit, if we're being honest. Just because I only say that because they have his early bird rights. So they can kind of throw him a bit of money angle over the cap. So I don't think they're afraid of it, you know?
Yeah, and he did prove that he could be his own scoring option.
Yeah.
Like if
not awesomely, but good enough.
No, but like maybe for 8 to 8 minutes a game off the bench. Like he could probably be your bench offensive leader now. Right.
Yes. Yes.
Because you can get away with playing other guys around Vic and you could fit I guess.
I'm sorry. We're talking about Bojan's money and him coming off the bench, and it just reminded me of something that's not even on our itinerary that happened this week.
Yeah.
Bobby Marks talking about Pacers' interest in Chris Middleton.
Well, that's a given.
That makes two. Yeah. Well, if they get another wing and they keep Bojan, he could either come off the bench or coexist with them, which is cool.
Middleton is going to re-sign. Are we not in that world?
I don't know. Malik Andrews seems to think that they're going to have to choose between him and Brogdon potentially because they want to keep Brook Lopez so bad.
What?
Yeah, Brook Lopez was huge for them.
Yeah, but Brook Lopez is like 35. He's not 35, but he's old.
I understand. We'll see what they do. This is not the Locked On Bucks podcast.
No, it is not.
Lovely show. The other one I forgot is on Ryan Russillo's show. Did you hear this one?
No, I actually just started listening to it. So
Bobby Mark says the Spurs and Popovich, who loves his Euros, are interested in Bojan, and separately might be willing to move DeRozan to clear space. I think DeRozan is a horrible fit with Victor Oladipo. However, he is a good basketball player. So I don't think that those are a correlated transactions like DeRozan signed and trade for Bojan or anything like that.
No, but his contract's really bad too. It's 28 million, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. So I just wanted to talk about the Spurs being another suitor for Bojan.
That means Bojan is really good.
That is true. That does mean Bojan. Confirmed fact, good.
All right. Let's take a break real quick. And on the other side of this break, we are going to do something that is unique to this podcast. All right, welcome back in. You like that little radio tease, Tony?
Yeah. I'm really excited for this, and I don't know how we're going to do it perfectly, but I'm looking forward to it.
So this is an idea I got earlier in the week because we were watching Victor Oladipo's, what do you call it, 100-yard sprint or whatever he was doing.
He didn't even make it 100 yards, did he?
I thought he ran the whole length of the football field.
All right, I'm going to mute my computer so I can't. No, I'll just mute this tab like a not idiot so I can watch it and hear you. I want to see how far he gets.
Yeah, let's watch the full. So we're.
Oh, he does do the whole field. You're right. I apologize.
So we are going to Zapruder film style break down this 25 second tape.
All right, how far do you want to go as we break it down at first?
We'll just go. I don't know. As you just
first say, 5 seconds, he's kind of adjusting his stance. Knees and quad look good there, Adam.
So I think we should also, for the audience out there who is young and may not understand, Zapruder film was referring to the JFK assassination tapes. Don't watch that now. But
I can't even believe I wouldn't. I didn't even think like, oh, I need to explain this.
Well, I'm sure people get it. I mean, we have a very sophisticated audience. We have a very smart, sophisticated audience out there. So I'm sure they get it. But I just thought I would.
Don't feel the need to embarrass yourself. But if you're in the overlap of people who listen and have the capabilities to listen to a podcast and didn't know what the Zapruder film was, please let me know in some form.
Yeah, it's okay.
You may be entitled to financial compensation.
I should also say, if you're listening to this podcast and you're not driving your car, you should pull up this video and watch it with us real quick, side by side.
Just Google Pacers Victor Oladipo running.
Yeah. I think what we should do is just do it like I'll say play, and then you just say pause when you want to talk about something.
Oh, I just said play because the first, as I explained while you were explaining what a Zapruder film is, the first 5 or 6 seconds, Vic is standing on the goal line just swaying. And let me tell you, man, those knees look good.
Yeah. So it's his right knee is the one he hurt. I want to make sure I get this right.
The one in the brace, Adam. Yes.
Yes. So watch how he plants it and kind of shakes it. You see that?
Yeah, man. He looks ready to go.
He's testing it out to make sure it can move.
All right. Get yourself to the 9 second mark when he takes off. 10 second mark. Man, this video is long with a lot of not running. 10 or 11 second mark.
All right.
At that burst.
Yeah, that first step. Oh, I paused it at 11 seconds.
No false steps.
You can, yeah. He's good. Like, I'm watching 11 seconds and he's just planting that right foot is planted in the ground completely. There's no
turf. Dude, turf is hard to run on.
Yeah. No, he got a good
football. What is this football field that's indoors but has these giant bright windows?
So I'm wondering if he's in Miami, right?
Definitely Miami. There's a U in the end zone. I'm
sorry. So maybe that's a Miami football practice stadium. Yeah, but you can see the palm trees in the background.
Can see the palm trees in the background.
And I think it says it's something against the wall.
It's all
about
the U. It's the U, all about the U, baby.
In Miami.
Man, this is cool. We need to make a shirt for Vic that says with Pacers colors.
So I'm watching him. I'm not just going back and forth my scroll over the 9 to 11 seconds, and you're watching him shake that knee, and it's stable, man.
He's wobbling his injured knee while he's like jittery, ready to take off.
Yeah,
and then he just goes, man.
And that first burst, that just reminds me of when he
is flying for the first 30 yards, and then Adam at 14 seconds. A random other person filming running alongside him appears.
So I will say, I want to go back quick. That first.
Oh, man, I skipped too far ahead.
So that burst that you're talking about, right? At the 12th, 13th, yes. That reminds me of when they switch onto a bigger guy onto him and they iso him out and he just kind of looks at him, takes that like two dribble kind of thing, and then just jolts to the hoop. That's what it reminds me of.
Super. Yes, it does.
And he's just off. He's just off.
You cannot catch up. You're bringing the help.
And from there on, I mean, that guy that's running with him cannot keep up with
him. The guy running with a camera cannot keep up with the injured Vic. Although he's doing his best, he does have a very low stride.
Yeah, but he started probably 20 yards into Vic's run, and Vic is already past him 30 yards.
Oh, a person on the right appears at about the 22nd mark. A lot of people on hand here. I must say, Adam, my complaints about the glares of the window have been amplified on the end of the field.
All right, so when we see, I want to go back to like the take to like 16 seconds, 15 seconds.
Oh, wow, look. Pause at 19 seconds. You can see the sniper in the grassy knoll.
19? Where?
That was a great Zapruder film reference, and you didn't even kind of laugh.
No, I get it now. No, so at 15, just watch his strides.
You can, 15.
It's 15 to like 17.
How long are his strides? That's an important thing. He's getting 5 yards in two steps.
Yeah, he's probably, yeah, I would say about 2.5 yards per step. I mean, he's flying.
Man, those look good.
The leg is kicking back at like, there's no issues with it. You know what I mean? He's not looking like scared to put pressure on it. He is just going.
So he gets even with this guy holding the camera at about a little before the 30 yard line. We'll call it the 27. And he's past him before the 40.
Yeah,
man, he is gassed, this guy. And he runs all the way through the line. Also, Adam, this cameraman's running form with his left arm wobbling like that is a disaster.
Well, it's because he's got to hold that camera. I'm now watching the cameraman's form.
Oh,
not,
bad.
It's not great.
This guy on the right is just on his phone. Like, not, Victor Oladipo's not running right by him.
Well, it's probably like somebody that he knows pretty well that's watched him do this before. So he's probably been training all day at the Miami facilities, I would assume, right?
That's true.
He probably worked out whatever.
I don't know if this is fast, but it just feels crazy that he's running.
So let's do this. He starts at about the
10 second mark.
Right. I'm trying to get to the exact mark when he takes off. So he takes off at 11 and he finishes by what, 23, 24?
I don't want to wait for 12 seconds. I'll skip ahead. Yeah, no, 22. Like an 11 second run down the field.
So
not very fast.
Well, no. So a 40 yard dash, I got to get on my calculator now to be able to do this right. But a 40 yard dash, a good time in the 40 is like in the mid fours if you're really fast, right?
That's true. Yes.
So if he went 100 yards in 11 seconds, what's 11 times?
You got 4. This.
0.4. Wow. That's 4.4.
I'm not sure what you're doing here. Oh,
dang. Like it's 40 yard dash time would be 4.4.
I rescind my comment because I thought it wasn't that fast, but that is pretty quick.
No, that's pretty fast. I mean, right, the best wide receivers in terms of speed run like a 4.2 or 4.3, or maybe 4.3. 4.2 is probably the low. So
I don't think this field's 100 yards in retrospect.
No, I don't think it is either. Now I'm looking at it.
I think the 30 yard line is immediately followed by a 30 yard line.
So it's 10.
I would like to confirm that this is a 35 yard field.
Yeah. So what's
70 yards in 11 seconds? He did not run a 4.4.
Okay. So let's do this then. Let's see. When does he cross the 40 yard mark?
That's the other 30, and that's about the 16-second mark. So it's a little over 5 seconds.
Well, he doesn't take off until about the 12-second mark. 11 seconds. Well, 11. Okay.
I'm confident in my a little over 5-second assessment.
Yeah, I think you're correct. All right. So that's, I guess
that's faster than I could do.
Right, yeah, now. I think my 40 dash is like probably in the sixes.
I don't know if I could run 40 yards right now.
Well, no, and you got to think. You got to think he's not running in cleats, I assume, right?
Yes.
Is he running right? So that makes it
harder. Tell. This is good. You're better at these little details than me.
I may have watched his video like about 35 times and already thought about some of this stuff.
He takes off in front. No, he's just wearing like Nike.
Right. So it's harder to run on turf when you don't have cleats.
Yeah.
So that probably loses a good half a second. So really, he probably runs under 5 if he's in cleats, which is pretty good for a guy.
Those Orlando Magic shorts. Can we confirm?
The video is very grainy.
It is very grainy.
There's a logo on him, but it's not Orlando Magic. It's something though.
You're right. Well, this is fun.
Yeah. What are we at for recording? Have we got a good 8 minutes on this?
We've done way too long on this.
All right.
We should do a Zapruder film session of like one play every week.
Oh, that's a good idea for a segment for next. That's a good idea.
That'd be fun.
We can do that instead of what did we do? We did mailbag for a while. I think like replacing our mailbag segment for the first part of the year. Everybody will hate that.
I would enjoy that.
Everybody would hate that, though, if they don't get the questions in. all right. Anything else on the video?
In actual basketball terms, run that. This is a very good sign for the season. I mean, we're 4 months away, and he's already running.
Yeah, I was hoping because the 6 month timetable, 6 to 8 months, puts him back at training camp in September. And I was hoping if he made that fully healthy by then, that's what you need to be able to have a good year.
Yeah.
Right. Because if he's there with whoever they bring in, the new guys, that allows him to gel and really start on the next season run. Put it that way.
Yeah. I don't know if he's ahead because I don't actually know. Like,
yeah, I don't.
But it seems like it.
Well, I guess what? We're at month.
I thought it was 10 months and we're only at 6 months.
Well, did you say Tony Parker came back in 6 months from it last time?
No, Tony Parker got hurt in April and came back in November. So he was just shy of 8 months.
No, it's six. April to October is six.
He came back in November, late November.
Oh, November. They said October. I'm sorry.
I might have said October, but I meant to say November.
Okay. So we're at the 5 month mark probably right now?
Yeah.
About January 23rd, and it's going to be June 20th next week.
So, yeah, this is good, I think.
Yeah.
Tony Parker, sad retirement.
Yeah.
Great career. And great now career. The best player named Tony in the NBA, Adam, is Tony Snell. This is a disaster for Tony.
Can I just say my favorite Tony Parker moment was the 2013 finals, the game one or two where he just went crazy.
The game one game winner, dude. That was amazing.
Yeah, but like where he was guarded by LeBron and beat him, and it was like, oh my God.
People forget how good he was, man. He was awesome.
Yeah.
He put a staple on the name Tony in the NBA.
Yes. I know you're excited about him because of the name.
Tony Allen was another one, but he's also gone. Now we're left with Tony Snell and Tony Bradley. That is not a crew that I'm
Are there any Anthonys that go by Tony?
You have a great point that I have not looked up, but Anthony Bennett. Anthony Davis. Oh, my God. Oh. Anthony Davis.
Yeah, but he doesn't go by Tony.
Sick. Oh, you can't take it away from me after you suggest it to me.
All right. We've run the course on this.
We have another actual serious Pacer section.
Yeah. So let's take a quick another break. And on the other side, we'll do another serious Pacer segment. All right, welcome back in to Locked On Pacers podcast. So for the final segment, we're going to talk about the draft, right, Tony?
No, we're not.
No, we're not.
We're going to do one other thing first.
Oh, you're right.
Miles Turner is on Team USA, baby.
Is he on the team?
He's on the training camp 20, and I think they cut it to 12 for the actual roster. I want to see the list, though, because the centers aren't like – you're like, whoa, those centers.
So here's the list of players. I've got it up or confirmed so far. Harrison Barnes, Bradley Beal, Davis, Drummond, Gordon, Harden, Tobias Harris, Lillard, Love, Lowry, McCollum, Middleton, Turner, Kemba. That's 15 so far. And then at training camp were Kuzma, Lopez, Millsap, Mitchell, Tatum, and Tucker. So 21 guys so far.
Yes. And, it's Brooke Lopez and Drummond are the other centers. Is it so outrageous that he makes it over them?
So the centers are right. 30. Yeah, no.
And AD.
Yeah. So do they keep?
I think that they're both as good as him. I'm just saying it's not outrageous that he actually makes
it. Yeah, do they keep three centers though?
No. Probably just AD and one of the ones.
Right. I guess so. It's him and Drummond. That's the competition. Unless you play Love at center, right?
Yes.
Which that could be. It could hurt him.
Yes. So.
I mean, on this list, guys, I think he is better than Drummond.
PJ Tucker.
Well, I'm looking at
centers only.
I'm looking at so they have like a 15, like the first 15, and then they have added whatever. But guys are better. Okay, better than I would say Kuzma, Tucker.
Kuzma making it is a joke, man. Okay.
Drummond, probably, I would say.
He's as good as Drummond to me.
Yeah. I mean, he's a little better, I think. He's a little bit better defensively.
Yes, definitely.
I guess
it might be Eric Gordon. Gordon.
Probably not better than Harris, right?
Tobias is better, but he's better than Harrison Barnes.
Yeah, he's better at this stage. Millsap, maybe.
That's close.
Lopez is the same way, I think.
But, the biggest part of this, and this is I don't mean to step on your toes.
Oh, you're fine.
Remember, we got jazzed. Well, maybe it was just me that McMillan was going to be there because he could recruit a little bit. Not that it's like such a big deal because it's still Indiana, but just having Miles Turner be around these guys is definitely a good thing.
Yeah. Would Vic play on this team if he was in it? No, he'd play for another country, right? Didn't he play for?
No.
No, he played for the U.S.?
He played for U.S. Remember, okay. He was in training camp last year. Was that video of him hitting the shot over KD?
That's right. I was thinking that he might have did what some other guys do and played for his parents in some country.
No. No. Sabonis playing for Lithuania, so hopefully we get Sabonis versus Turner. Okay, now we can do your draft thing. Actually,
isn't Bojan playing for somebody too?
No, he's not playing this summer.
Is Kojo playing for Canada?
He might be. Okay. We can get a lot of Pacers versus Pacers. I'm going to go first here because I received the email.
Just okay. No, you're fine. Go ahead.
Okay, so the backstory, first of all, is the Lockdown NBA mock draft is currently going on, and it's awesome. It was far and away Lockdown NBA's most listened to show last year because it's so awesome. Every team's Lockdown host like sends in a snippet about the guy they want, and they do a whole mock draft, and then Jeremy Wu from Sports Illustrated comes in and grades all the picks. He did not like our pick last year. Okada Bates Diop, who did a fine job as a second-round pick in Minnesota, but no, he was not the right pick. Anyway, it's very cool, and there's trades we're allowed to do. And I was on vacation this weekend, so I didn't check my email for a whole Friday. But on Friday, the Utah Jazz and David Locke offered the 23rd pick in the draft for Doug McDermott. Now, obviously, the Pacers should accept this. Me and Adam would both agree. I would like to interject and say one thing, and that is that I think because the Pacers don't shoot a lot of threes, McDermott's value to other teams is actually higher than the Pacers. So he might actually have positive value more so than we think. However, I do not think that's a realistic trade at all.
No, I don't think it was either. That's why I said we should take it.
I did accept it, but I waited too long because I didn't check my email for a day. The additional offer was the inclusion of Jay Crowder to make salaries work if we needed to. Jay Crowder's good. Like, I would have taken that also.
No, I think you want to cut that. You want to cut McDermott's salary.
So yeah, you want ideally, yes. So that's a thing that I think needs to be shared. It's just that, you know, obviously, again, I don't think McDermott is worth any first-round pick. However, I don't think it's crazy that he actually has positive value to a team that needs shooting for only $7 million.
Yeah.
I've been selling his value short this whole time.
I mean, I think he's not – he can't really play big NBA minutes. So, I mean, I
was not helpful for the Pacers this year.
No, I think there is something about his shooting that you can sell yourself – talk yourself into it, I guess, is the right way to put
especially
it.
Especially a team like Utah who just like is desperate for a shooter.
Like, yeah, I mean, I've been playing like a team like Houston Utah until they do it, probably.
Yeah,
it's just at the salary dump. I mean, I've been doing at the salary dump simply because it allows you to bring back more of your guys from last year. It allows you to go after to keep Young and maybe get Koja or whatever, you know. That's the point. I don't think you need to get a positive value for him. I think just getting rid of his salary is fine.
Yeah.
Enough.
I agree. But I thought, like, I was kind of shocked. I was like, what? But I guess I never thought of it making sense that maybe he does add, like, to it, especially Houston that you said, or Milwaukee maybe, or some team that actually does have guys that bomb away.
All right, so I'm going to say something, and it's not meant to be critical of our boss, David Locke, who is the Jazz.
I know what you're going to say, and I think I agree.
But it's the kind of move – When you're not always paying day-to-day attention to a team that you think, oh, that guy must be a good shooter.
Adam, can I add another thing?
Okay.
Who was Doug McDermott's season high in points against this year?
Oh, I didn't think about that.
The Utah Jazz. I believe. Remember that he had that sick game in Phoenix, immediately followed by that sick game in Utah?
Yeah, and I might be
wrong, but it was he had over 20 against them, and yes, it was his highest scoring game of the year.
I mean, and these are the same biases that I get sometimes where I, you know, only watch so many Terrence of the West
Coast. Every time we talk about Terrence Ross.
Yeah, or something. Great example, or like even Tobias Harris in a way. Yeah. I mean, it's a great example where we watched him, really, really watched him like a handful of times when he played the Pacers, and like we saw that what he could do at his best, right? You know, if we watch Tobias Harris every night, we might not think the same way that we think of him as when he's a Pacer killer, whatever he is. So this is not a knock on as like something I don't do. I definitely do it, but it's definitely something where if you don't pay attention to every single team with detail, you could be talking yourself into McDermott, which I think is selling the GMs of other teams short because they are paid to do this. They have guys who are paid to watch every team and know how good guys are. So I don't think other teams would necessarily have the same value as the quasi GMs we all try
correct,
to
do. Correct. But I still, it was shocked me enough that it made me recalibrate a thought there.
And they might have more value than we think because of his spacing.
I want to look up the schedule to see what day our pick comes out because I might be able to reveal it on this show. They come out the same day. But we either pick the day you're listening today, Thursday, or tomorrow. So go check that out. Adam did a nice read on the player we picked. Dang it, it's Friday. Never mind. But it's still super cool. So go listen to that and go hear who the Jazz actually traded for, because David was upset that he accepted a trade that he considers worse.
And I will say the whole Locked On draft stuff is really good. They so do a really good job putting together, first of all. One, it's really one of the few times where, like, the network is able to really show, oh, this is why we have 30 hosts, or, you know what I mean? Because it really, we can show off kind of our skills. We all have these local people who all are more in tune with the teams and even some of the Nash people in a way. Obviously not Woj. Woj is just like, is a crazy man and is in tune with everything at all moments, but it's just really cool. And you should listen to all those because, I mean, this time of year, you're probably thriving for NBA content, trying to find out there. So that's
the draft stuff is so much fun to listen to though.
Yeah.
Just because it's literally all opinion up until it happens. So I listen to smart people. I'm like, oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. And the people that do these Locked On other teams are just as in tuned into the team as Tony and I are. So, like, they have a pretty good idea of what the team needs. Now,
you just dumped on a lot of people.
No. What do you mean?
I'm joking.
I just complimented every Locked On host that we were. But no.
Using us as the barometer for a compliment just is funny. Too.
Oh, because we're so awful.
Yeah.
Okay, well, no, but you should listen to it. It's really good. Because the picks obviously are kind of a shot in the dark because nobody knows how the draft's going to play out, but it's just cool to see them talk about what they think their team needs and stuff like that, and really understanding the NBA a little bit better. You can understand every team a little bit better, but just listening.
Yes. Absolutely.
That's all I got, Tony. I'm out.
Yeah, well, we talked about all the rumors because it was Conley, DeRozan, or the two I really wanted to bring up. And then that's it. We got Turner. We got the draft. We got Zapruder. Man, we got it all. Well, that was a fast one. What happened?
We've pushed it a little bit of pace because it is late. It is currently 11:18 East Coast time. Tony is a little sick. So I would like him to
apologize for my voice and our schedule.
I would like him to go to sleep so we can be ready for what is going to be a 2 week of grueling constant recording.
2 weeks. Yes. Okay. Well, we can lay out the schedule if you'd like.
Yeah. So
tomorrow
will be Aaron Holiday's player review. Sorry, I'm going to say preview. Been doing
that. Only fair that I didn't do him.
Yeah, because Tony hates him.
That's not true. But yes, I understand.
Monday is Wes or is Matthews.
Mesley Matthews almost.
Yeah, Wesley Matthews.
Tuesday is Kyle Quinn, and with that Kyle Quinn stuff, someone on Twitter has requested that I talk about like the difference between restricted and unrestricted free agency, plus some other cap stuff. So we'll have some caps 101 before free agency, and then Wednesday is going to be Alzay Johnson plus Davon Reed in the same episode, and we'll do a little draft news stuff before the draft. Then that Thursday, we'll do a full draft preview with all the info we have. And Friday, of course, live draft reactions. If you listen to last year's, you got to hear me be sad about Brunson. It was very fun. It's a good episode.
Yeah, we'll probably come on what around, I don't know, somewhere between the 12th and 14th pick. And
just so you can live react to all of them.
Yeah, and then we'll stay on.
I think it's one of our most fun shows of the year.
Yeah, and that or the free agency one will be good.
First day of free agency. When we got to victory lap Tyreek, that was so fun.
Yeah, you really get Tony and I's like pure reaction to things, which occasionally is like is really unfiltered, and like I try to like think about, and Tony writes a lot, so like we try to at least have some idea of what we want to say, but like that is just.
I remember I was on vacation in Florida when Miles Turner signed his extension, and we happened to be home for lunch, and I just went into like a bathroom and recorded 10 minutes about Miles Turner's extension. It was like the most raw emotion thing I've ever done.
I remember you were were you mad about that? I don't remember what you were.
Yeah, I was mad about the timing.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, it just was like is Miles Turner going to have such an awesome year that he's going to be worth way more? And then he had a pretty good year, and he probably would have been worth more. So teams are always smarter than me. What else is new? But yeah.
Well, yeah, I think it's a good way to end the show. Tony self-deprecating himself.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun week coming back to 5 days a week, and the draft is super awesome. And I'm fairly confident there will be a big, giant Anthony Davis trade before that we can also talk about if we want. So
yes. So as always, you can follow the Locked On Pacers podcast at Locked On Pacers. You can follow Tony at Teased NBA. me at FreedomAdam5. You can get this podcast on Himalaya, including all Locked On Pacers podcasts. That includes the National Locked On NBA show, Locked On Jazz, if you want to hear what they did with their pick, and any other Locked On. We got Locked On Colts now. I mean, all kinds of Locked On stuff. So you can check that out on the Himalaya app. Thank you guys for joining us, and we will see you guys again tomorrow.